I hope you guys got a bulletin, and inside it you have some notes. And I just wanted to point out that we're in a series. We started it last week, and it's in the book of 2 Timothy. So you're going to need a Bible, and if you don't have one, there's some on the back table. But you're going to need to find your way to 2 Timothy. And we started a series, and Kurt called it The Power of One. And last week he presented the question, does it matter if I finish strong in these crazy times? And you will see as we read the book of 2 Timothy that Paul had a deep concern to make sure that his mentor, the person that he had called into ministry with him, that he wasn't going to fall away or burn out or lose heart. He wanted to encourage Timothy to finish strong. And so we are in this book, and today we are in verses 11 through 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in a minute, I want to read to you those verses. And let's do that now. Can we do that? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As I've been reading this and studying, I guess this is what I wanted to say before I read it, it's funny because it feels like such a personal thing from Paul to Timothy. And there's things in there that I'm reading and I'm like, all right, well, what do I do with that? What does this have to do with me or today even? So, you know, and so I'm like, I'm reading this and I'm asking God, like, well, that's great, but what is it that we need to be reminded of here as a church? Because we know, and Kurt talked about it at the end of 2 Timothy, he talks about all scripture being God-breathed. All scripture is useful for correction and training in righteousness. And so I believe that there's something in here for us. So I'm excited to open this up with you. But it made me think, so as you read this, think, what does this have to do with us? 2 Timothy verse 11. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, a teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But I'm not ashamed because I know the one I have believed in. And I'm persuaded he's able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you. This you know, all those in Asia have turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtained mercy from him on that day, and you know very well how much he ministered at Ephesus. All right. What do you think? What do we get out of this? What's in there that applies to me? As I looked at this, I almost felt like we were starting in the middle of a conversation, right? And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to go backwards just a little bit. But I'm wondering, who's he talking to? Is he talking to me? Let's go back to verse 6. Paul's heart is for Timothy, right? He's saying, Timothy, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God is... Do you guys hear that? Okay. I have a headache, but I didn't know if that was part of it or... Okay. All right. Well, that's good. We're all in this together. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Verse 8. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me as prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that's when he says in our passage today, for this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, teacher. And that's why I suffer these things. So we're in the middle. We're in the part two of a paragraph, basically, of the beginning, the intro. He's laying a foundation for what he's going to be sharing through the rest of this passage, this book, about his heart for 2 Timothy. And I think that if we want to get something out of the Bible for ourselves, that we first need to understand, well, what was it that Paul was trying to tell Timothy, the immediate audience that he was trying to instruct or trying to encourage or point something out to. If we can get an insight into what it was that Paul wanted Timothy to get, then we can ask, well, does that connect to me or not? How am I supposed to take? Because I want to read this, and I want to see where it says, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. In the NIV, that's how I memorize it. It says, I want you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hand. And I'm like, well, is that to me? Is that to me? Does that relate to me? I mean, I never met Paul. Sounds like a nice guy, but he didn't lay his hands on me. And then you read the next verse. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Who? Me? He's talking to Timothy, right? When he says us, he's talking about him and Timothy, right? So I'm investigating this. And I'm thinking, you know what? If it says somewhere else in the Bible, more specifically directed to you, that yes, you too have these same things that Paul's saying Timothy received, then I think that it would... then I think that it would be like that's the weight behind it. That like, yeah, look, I see here and I see here that these things are directly connected to me too. And so I'm wondering, do we need to be encouraged? Do we need to be challenged to fan into flame the gift of God that is in us, even though Paul didn't lay his hands on us? Maybe. Maybe not. Let's look. Let's look at a couple passages. First, let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, and in Romans 12, we'll probably start at verse 3. Paul talking to the church in Romans. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you, not think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. And here's a little list. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If in service, in service. If in teaching, in teaching. In exhortation, in exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. But what did it say? According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. Let's look at 1 Peter 4. Why do we have different gifts? How did we get different gifts? Do I really have a different gift? Do I have a gift? Okay. 1 Peter 4. Matt told me once that he can get to the scripture on the slides faster than I could. So, here we are. Based on the gift, verse 10. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Verse 9 said, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. And then it goes on to list some things. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one who speaks the words of God. If he serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through him, through Christ Jesus in everything. To him belong the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. 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 So we have two verses, and if you study 1 Corinthians 12, it's the same thing, that the idea is that the Holy Spirit has given us gifts, and he, according to his will, is the one that distributed them among us. And so I'm wondering, well, maybe we need to fan into flame the gift of God that has been given to us. You know, it talks about this picture of the body, and I told you about my son Jeremy, and he's really little, and there was a period of time, I mean, he's getting better now, but there was a period of time where he just like, he would like stare, and you could see that he wanted something, like maybe it was like, I don't know, say there's a banana on the table, and there's a banana on the table, and he's like just staring at it, you know, and he's like leaning towards it, you know, and like he wants the banana, and his arms just kind of hang there, you know what I mean, and he's like, I don't know how to get that banana. You know, like, he's got a hand, and it's down here, and he's got two of them, you know, and he's got arms, and he can kind of, like, flail around, but, like, he can't get the banana because he doesn't know how to use or that this is a hand. You know, and now he's getting a little better. He's like, I want the banana. He's like, you know, and he grabs it, and you can't get it out of his hands anymore. But there's a danger here that we don't understand the gift of God that he's given to us, the Spirit's gift to us that he wants us to use to serve one another and to build up the body. There's a danger that we, and as a body, since we're all one, like, I kind of need you, and we need each other. I mean, let's say you're facing something, and like you've got this situation, and you just need somebody who's just got that extra measure of faith, or that word of encouragement to come by you and say, you know, this is what I see, and remember, this is what's true, and this is who you are, and this is who God is. We need to value the other parts of the body. Otherwise, how are we going to move together to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to engage this world and to empower, equip, and encourage if we're not working as a body? It's like trying to row a boat, you know what I mean? And everybody's paddling at their own time, and the oars are hitting each other and everything. We got to move together as a body. We have to value the different varied grace of God, the gifts that he's given to us. You know what I'm saying? You with me? Well, have we been given a spirit of power? Have we been given a spirit of power? It says, haven't been given a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, of love, and of sound judgment. And I'd like you guys to study that this week and to look at, like, this is what Kurt said last week. He said, who is it that God says you are? He talked all about identity and who you are, who God says you are. He says, remember, do you remember who God says you are? These are some of the scriptures that you could go to and you can look at. And you say, well, who has God told me that I am in Christ? How am I changed now? So, what I want to go to is the Spirit of power, Ephesians 3:14-21. I want to read that with you. I love this passage. So Ephesians 3:14-21 says, for this reason, this is Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, happens to be the same church where Timothy was the pastor, was the elder, right? So, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit. To be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit. And that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. He's given us a spirit of power, and it's through that power that we can grasp and we can know the love of God, the depth, and we're going to sing about that later. We were singing about it earlier, and he's given us these things, and we need to, I just so want to, like, have confidence that, yeah, God, you have given me a gift, and you've given me a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. So that I can say, no, it's not just for Timothy back in that day, but I too, I too might need to fan this into flame. If Paul was writing you a letter about your life and your heart and your situation, maybe he would say to you, hey, fan it into flame. God has given you a gift. Hey, he hasn't made you fearful. He's given you power, love, sound judgment. So in verse 8, which is still not in the passage I'm supposed to teach on, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And I noticed that there's some repeated words. And so below, I have listed them, repeated words. I would like you to like look for these words in your text. If you want to circle them in your notes or circle them in the Bible, next time we're in this passage, then somebody else will see your little circles if you're using one of the church Bibles. But notice there's some repeated words here, some repeated ideas. And I think we're supposed to notice that. And it's definitely supposed to catch Timothy's attention. And it's supposed to help us identify what it is that Paul's addressing. What is it he's really getting at? And so notice, he says, don't be ashamed. That's how he starts that section, 2 Timothy 1:8. Don't be ashamed. And you'll see at the end of the section, or later on, verse 12, you see that? But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I believed in. So Paul is bringing up being ashamed again. The word gospel, that's in there a few times, right? Or the testimony about our Lord. Do not be ashamed of me as prisoner, or the testimony about our Lord. So, power, guard, and entrusted. Do you see where those are repeated? Well, what do we do with that? What I want to do is I just want to talk about these two pieces. Not being ashamed of the gospel, or when he says the testimony of our Lord, and when he says, or of me, his prisoner. You see, that's kind of what he's talking about the rest of this time. He's like, don't be ashamed. And then where it says, or of me as prisoner, he says, instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. Because he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And he's talking, hey, Timothy, you know, we have been given this special gift. And I think that for Timothy and Paul, it was one and the same. I think the gift that they had received was the gift the gift to preach. Timothy was the preacher that was left, the elder that was left in Ephesus to be an overseer over this church. And Paul talks, he kind of, as you read it, it's like this blending. I experienced this, you too experienced this. I am asking you to guard it just like I'm guarding it. And he's entrusted me to do something, and I need you to entrust it. And so he's it's always Paul being an example, a model for Timothy, and asking Timothy to come along and to not lose heart. There's just such a danger for Paul if Timothy's fire goes out. You know what I mean? Like Paul just... It's such a burden for him. And as we see, there's people all around him who's letting the flame go out. And he's like, Timothy, you got to keep it. You got to stay strong. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And don't be ashamed of me. Yeah, I'm in prison again in Rome. And it's probably the end. This is probably the last time, basically. But I need you to not be ashamed of me. I need you to stay strong. In fact, you need to suffer for the gospel too. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer. He's not suffering because he did something wrong, didn't steal bread, you know, he's suffering because he is testifying to the gospel. And he's saying, and so then Timothy is being challenged with this challenge. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me, the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. guard them. I'm in verse 13 and 14. Guard them through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. This you know. All those in Asia have turned away from me, including this guy and the other guy. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. And he seems to be a good example. He seems to be one, and there's a big background, if you look in the book of Philemon, to this guy named Onesimus, who's actually a slave. But then he was converted, and he became a believer, and then he started to help Paul in his ministry. And so Paul ended up sending to Philemon a letter saying, hey, Philemon, hey, I'm sending you back your slave, but he's so much more than a slave. He's been side by side with me. That's who Onesimus is. And he's saying, hey, Timothy, remember, yeah, these people left. Phygellus and Hermogenes, they left. They fell away. Their fire went out. But Onesimus, remember him. You know him well because you know how much he served me in the very city that you are serving, Timothy. So he's saying to Timothy, he's saying, you gotta hold on to the sound teaching. Because I think that in his day, and as you read the rest of 2 Timothy, the gospel message was coming under fire. It was being distorted. It was being watered down. People were using it to make money, to profit from it. And then he was in a culture that didn't accept the teachings, that didn't like it. There was persecution. And he's, you need to suffer. You need to suffer for the gospel too. Don't be ashamed of me. I'm serving the gospel. So share in the suffering. And I want to ask, how willing are you to suffer for the gospel? How willing are you to suffer for those who might believe the gospel message? Maybe in some senses you're a little bit ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? How easy is it for you to stand up and say that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing? How easy is it for you to say that we're all born sinners because of the fallen man, Adam? And that sin separates us from God. In fact, there's no one righteous. No, not one. All have turned away. All have gone their own way. All have gone astray. And that we were born into this life. We're not inherently good. How easy is that for you to articulate today? And that the Father had a son named Jesus, and that Jesus came down, God came down, and he was born of a woman who was a virgin. And that Jesus grew up, and that Jesus never sinned. And that God, being so holy, he couldn't have partnership, he couldn't have fellowship with those who were in sin. And so he required a blood sacrifice of an unblemished lamb to die, to offer himself on the cross. And that the Father, who's going to say, you know what, that sacrifice of that unblemished blood is enough to cover your sin. And that if you believe in the name of Jesus, that somehow washes away all of your guilt. How easy is that for you to say? To testify to. And that Jesus not only came and he lived and he died, but 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And then he walked around for a period of time, and then he was lifted up and called up into heaven, but he's coming back. How easy is it for you to say that I'm waiting for a Savior to come back? He's going to call me home, And that he's actually, this whole time up until then, he's rearranged my whole focus, my whole priority. My whole life is going to be focused on this one thing, knowing Jesus Christ and having a relationship with the Father and going and making disciples who know and who follow Jesus. This is the testimony about our Lord. This is the gospel that Paul knew that he needed to say, Timothy, don't let the fire go out. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Hold on. Suffer with me. Paul knew what Timothy needed to hear. God knows what we need to hear. And he's included this letter in his word of God to us so that we would be stirred up, so that we wouldn't let our fire go out, and that we would hold on to the gospel. And I forgot where I got left off, but I didn't finish. He's going to call me. He's going to come back, and he's going to call us home. And then our future, our forever future, is with him in heaven, where we don't even need light bulbs, because the Son and the Lamb, he is the light, and where there's no tear and there's no suffering and there's no pain, and we have glorified bodies. Amen. Amen. That is the gospel. That's the message, the testimony about our Lord, that he's saying, hey, don't hide. Don't back away. Don't keep your mouth shut. Who cares what they say? Who cares about all the pressure that's on you? You're going to have to bear these things with me. That's why I'm in prison. At least you're not in prison. Yeah. There's so many people across the globe that are. We need to be praying for them in prison because of their stand on God's word. That's what I wanted to bring before you guys today. I wanted to dive into Paul's letter to 2 Timothy and help understand what Paul was trying to say to Timothy so that we can take heart and glean from it some of the passion that Paul shares as he's encouraging his young, he calls him his son in the ministry. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And God, it's just amazing how your word can expose, and it can divide, and it can cut to the heart of things. And we're grateful that it does, because Lord, it challenges us. But Lord, it also promises things, God, that we just would love to hold on to. Lord, I'd love to walk in a manner that was not fearful, but was powerful, that was loving, and it was self-controlled. And Father, I pray for that. I pray for that for this church, that as individuals we would know who we are in you, and that we would walk in the things that you've provided to us through your Spirit. And Father, I want to walk unashamed of your gospel and open my mouth and make it and be bold. And Lord, we want to see the fruit of your gospel in changed lives. And so Lord, our fear of suffering, our fear of discomfort, our fear of not being in control, not knowing what to say. Father, we admit, Lord, that we operate in fear. And we're sorry when we didn't speak when we should have spoke, or give when we should have given, or sacrifice when we could have sacrificed. And Lord, I pray that you would move us on, that you would grow us up, that we would be more aware next time. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. I want to say amen, Lord, but too, we are going to take our tithes and our offerings, and I ask that you would bless them, Lord, as we've come with gifts. We've come giving you a piece of what you've provided with us, Lord. We recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and I pray that you would be honored, Lord, as we give. I pray that you would challenge our faith, but I pray that the faith that we have, I pray that we would trust you with it to use this money for your gospel, to enhance your kingdom. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.